this thing about Passover. And we never ever, at least I don't think we do, in any given year, we don't ever get to read all of the related scriptures in that one time. So, and when you don't do that, you miss some of the connections to see the mystery more clearly. And so in morning Bible study, and the Bible studies on Sunday, and then Wednesday's Bible study, and evening Bible studies, from now until, are all going to be in preparation for Passover. Remember in the feasts, the first one in the year is Purim. And that's to show that God is not mentioned at all, as you well know, in the book. But the idea is to show that God is always at work, behind the scenes, if it were, to do his perfect will. Then comes Passover. Well, let me talk about that, the whole thing, and the Megillah, because the Megillah is a critical part of all this. The Megillah just means this, it's five scrolls. On the Feast of Purim, the reading for the Feast of Purim is the Book of Esther. So that's, again, it's the idea that this is about a bride, in terms of this is what time and space are about, and that's the reason for that, for Esther. Then you come to Passover, and the Megillah for that is the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, and that represents, well, it's obviously it's the crucifixion of Christ and his resurrection, but the whole idea of Passover is the idea that that's the betrothal. That's when the bride is betrothed to the husband. And in terms of everything that happened in Passover, including Christ's death and resurrection, and the blood and our death and all of the things that we've talked about, it's the betrothal. But it's the betrothal in terms of the original reading about getting us out of the world, out of time and space, so that the bride is without spot or blemish or wrinkle. And so now everything from Passover, the betrothal, to Pentecost, the empowerment, is to cause you to be able to be empty. The cross took care of the things that are bad, if you will, but the counting of the Omer, coming out of the 49 gates of impurity, that the impurities are, the 49 gates are everything that you think is good. So that on the Feast of Pentecost, which is the empowerment, you are an empty vessel. The repentance has been complete. The cross took care of the things that the bad, if you will, and the 49 gates of impurity took care of the good. So you are there standing before God as an empty vessel. Therein is, but it's an empty vessel because at Passover you die. Yeah. So now we have empowerment. And so everything from that Feast of Pentecost to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the marriage supper of the Lamb, is getting rid of any remnants of idolatry within you. And so in a nutshell, that is the purpose of time and space. It's the reason the three pilgrimage feasts are so important, because it's in betrothal, empowerment, and marriage. So that's the overview. Now, the Megillah is, remember that Megillah, that's so important that even the work in the temple was ceased so that everyone had a chance to hear it when it was read. And there are five books, or five scrolls of the Megillah. First one, Esther.
Does Megillah mean something? You said something earlier.
Oh, it just means scrolls.
That's it?
Yeah. I don't remember what else it means, but that's not important. What the whole, but it's the idea, it's the, you've heard the expression or used to all in secular world, the whole Megillah. And that, and nobody ever, I never knew what it meant until I, but the whole Megillah is the entire mystery in a nutshell. Purim, Esther. Passover, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, excuse me. Pentecost, what?
Ruth.
Ruth. Fast of Ab?
Lamentations.
Lamentations.
Ecclesiastes.
Seventh day, the last day. So the idea is the whole purpose of everything that happens in that cycle is to get you to the place of Ecclesiastes. So that everything you see, that the emptiness and futility of vanity, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, all is vain, all is chasing wind. That's what vexation of spirit is. Then that's the final point to see all that. Then you can enter the eighth day of the marriage supper of the Lamb. So in terms of us even being in the game, Passover is the most important. Because without Passover, we couldn't even be, we were not even in the game. What, Gary?
Oh, I'm just reminiscing of how every time we have a feast, it's the only feast ever, this is it. And that's the feeling of each feast, is like it's the most important. Not denying what you said or anything, it's just that every time we have a feast, it seems to encompass everything there is about God.
Amen. Well, again, now what we're going to do is between now and Passover, there's a jillion assigned readings, if you'll read in the memo. And it we never finish them in one setting, in one Passover. And so that's what's on me to do, is to, so that we see in context all of the readings. All right? So let's start with Exodus 12. Well, no, let's start before. I'm sorry. Let's start in Exodus 6. Shut up, Pete. You didn't have to say that. You can just let that run down the river. By the way, there's somebody worse than Mr. Jeff with regard to laughing at his own crap. Mr. Evans. He is. I never thought I'd meet anybody else that laughed at their own. All right, in Exodus 6.
Mr. Glenn Evans.
Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, your people, the people. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said, unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But my name, it shouldn't be Jehovah, it's Yahweh, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage when they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore saith unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their hand, out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a strong arm, stretched out arm, and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And again, every time you see Egyptians, it's in typology, it's the world. And I'll bring...
What are the burdens that they're referring to here? Everything?
Everything.
Just physical?
Yeah, but it's remember... In the world, in Egypt, there was always work to do. And so the work was the burden. Anything that you considered work is a burden. Now, that's why in the New Testament, evil, remember, if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body is full of darkness. And how great is that darkness? Even the light that is in you is darkness, is what it said. Now remember, the word for evil is porneos, and it means to toil or to labor. It's because, I mean, this is really good news to Christ in you, the only hope of glory. But it's really bad news because you're identified, your being is identified by your work. I don't care which country you go to, when you meet somebody, what the question is, what do? I mean, it's so endemic to the human race that it's everything.
What do you say, nothing?
What?
What do you say, nothing, if they ask you that?
Or you could say, who do you worship?
Well, you again, when you say, that's what I usually say, is nothing. But what? You know, let me back up a minute. There's no such thing as an atheist. Because you worship what you give breath to. You tithe to who you worship. You know, we could run down the whole thing. Prayer, your thoughts are your prayers. Now you also, no matter what it is you're doing, as long as you're not at rest, you're at labor. When you're not at peace, you are in labor. That's the And so, you know, if you ask me, what do? You have a lot, you labor constantly. Because everything is in your mind, just trying to figure it out. How to do this, how to do that, how to take care of that. The labor is constant. You understand? So it's not that you're not doing, you're doing nothing. You may be doing nothing from what the world standard is, but your mind is constantly at work. So you are still in labor.
Doesn't it have to do with the mind of a Gentile? I mean, you have two guys doing the same thing. One is doing it serving God, the other's toiling.
No, because you can't. What must I do to do the work of God? Believe on Him only as Son. There's no. The idea of. The only time we've ever talked about what the mind of a Gentile versus the mind of a believer is in regard to waiting. If there's something that's going on and you have choices, you wait, but you can't wait with the mind of a Gentile. That's not waiting.
What does that mean?
Well, because you're anxious for what's going to happen. When is it going to happen? Your works have led you, and so you're not at rest.
I didn't understand that. What
all right, go to Revelation 14.
Revelation
14. This we could go all over the scriptures, but this is the clearest one. I want you we've read this 100 times, but I want you to hear it today because none of it would be possible without Passover. Remember, he's taking Passover, takes us out of the world, out of the place of burden, out of work, out of labor. And it takes us into another place. It takes us to the place where you know somehow that there is an inheritance. And then with Pentecost, you possess it. With Tabernacles, you own it and dwell there. And you dwell there permanently, forever. Now from God's standpoint, that's the only place there is for his people. On the mercy seat. So the first thing, burden, the Passover takes you out of burden, out of toil, out of labor. And now what does that mean? And listen carefully. Revelation 14, verse 12. And just think of the majesty of this first verse. Here is the patience of the saints. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. And here are they that have the faith of Jesus Christ. Now that's everything. Understand? And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors or their burdens, and their works do follow them. Never leave. Never again leave. And so this is Passover. This is what Passover is about. Glorious. It's majestic. It's everything.
It's like it's accomplished by being in the room. And God does the whole thing. You're just in the right place. With blood on the doorpost.
Amen. All right. Let's go back to Exodus 6. Okay, And I'll rid you of their, in verse six, I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord God, your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, under the laboring toil of the world.
Building their coffins.
And the only time you can hear this, and the only people that Jesus can ever hear and that you'll ever see, is those who have been building bricks without straw. That nothing that you accomplish stands the pressure. It just crumbles. Even though you may be a billionaire, in your mind, everything you've done just crumbled. That's what it means. That's the poor. That's the paktos in the New Testament. That's who the gospel is preached to. All right, let's continue. And I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord. If I go out, if we're going that, we'll take another hour. Let's Passover 101. Passover redeemable or something. But you've got to see it in the context of all of the feasts. The whole Megillah. Stop and think. Everything in the temple even stopped so that even everyone could hear the words of the Megillah. So there's something major here. Esther, Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes. And everything in that cycle has to been get you to the point of what you see and know. So that when you read Ecclesiastes, you're not just reading it, you're living it, and you know it. Amen? Any expansions on the tail? Or? And I heard a voice from heaven saying, here is the patience of the saints. Here. Are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and any works follow them. Do the works lead you? It's idolatry, no matter how much you justify. If that's all you're able to do, don't justify yourself. Say to God, I don't know what else to do, Father. Show me if this isn't of thy will.
I was thinking about the order of that, to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. It's like, first the law, which brings you to the end.
The key is your works to follow. Yeah, bottom line, it's all about seeing this silliness and emptiness of what we do, coming to the end of yourself, emptying, goal for us for this season, is to see the fullness of what Christ has accomplished, but to see also the incredible necessity of repentance, not the world's form of repentance, the repentance not to be repented of. We'll continue on the morrow. Take it, big guy. Are you going to use the van this morning?
No.
I'm going to take it to the workout about 9:15 or so. I'll be back in about an hour after that. I won't leave. Somewhere between 9 and 9:30 is when I'll leave.
Yeah, well, I'll leave it to about 2.
All right.
2, please.
And you see, when you wear short hair like that, then it never looks like you have road hair. See, this is good. But now, being it's just a little overdrawn. See? See that?
Do I
have
hands out?
You're just trying to get out of trouble. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wrote it last night.
It's a new fashion statement.
You know, I love
great bad hair.
I'll get it to you. Thanks for asking. I know.
I just figured if you had it on you, I'd get it. Well, I'll have the opportunity.
Do me a favor.
I know the top lock wasn't locked, the bottom lock wasn't locked.
I fixed it this morning because my hurry back work at it looked like you started. So I watered it, but then
you put your floor in yet?
No.
And then the water was
the whole Trinity Foundation when I had a free day though.
Yeah. Be here, I may be at seeing my nurse, so I have an appointment to see her at 2:00 today, and they're coming to get me at 1:00. So a lot of times the driver isn't here until 3, 4, 5 o'clock.
That's my father used to kid me. So
okay.
It's a sign of times when you come.
I can't promise I'll be here, but
I'm here. My mom and dad had their first problems in like 60s.
I hope it's one that's already in here because they know what to do.
What time is it?
I had an appointment. 9:30. What I evaluation.
Even though he would sing Pavarotti.
Well, we tried it 9:30 AM.
Wow, you can hear through the whole house.
Well, can you try, since it's this far in advance, can you get a driver to take you? That's, since it's something you know about, 4 days in, 3 days in advance, you can call him and you can have a driver.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, great. You know, we just, we're between you and Kimberly.
Yeah, okay.
And so, just, if you could do
yeah,
that,
you're
that
right,
would
okay,
help us.
I'll, yes,
okay.
Right, I'll call them today.
Okay.
So I'm thinking if my nurse got here around about that time, I could do it. She gets here at noon. So.
Jeff is mocking you, Ollie.
What?
Jeff is out here mocking you.
What'd he do?
Straightening the chairs exactly to where they're exactly in line.
Well, that'd be better. That's good.
But the way he's doing it, he's got the pursed lips and everything.
What do they say? Imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
Yeah.
There's no mock.